Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can have you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0414-281-4082.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo, you're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yes, guy! Friday the 19th of June, and you're listening to Sweet Talking Sport, that straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories, with both interviews and join an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to sporting events, whether local or whether international. Good to go, an expansive debate analysed by Mr. V and myself, Wagwan. Yeah, just having a little technical issue here this morning. Just keep chatting a little bit.
On a Sunday afternoon.
World Cup, no, innit? World Cup start.
Yeah. Couldn't get away too soon. I think obviously I might have to jump on another mic. No, no.
What up, big apart original talks? Big apart Empress. I know I'm box racing for the beach.
We'll keep on spending some.
Yeah, promotional family in the perspective.
We're gonna talk and laugh our time
away. No, it's kind of. I mean, Max is trying that one too, as well, yeah? Yeah, that's what you get with live shows, you know?
Midnight.
Just have to just bear with me, you know? Soon come true with it.
Tufton, yeah, that's the one.
And there's no place in this world that I'd rather be in than right here.
Yeah, drop it again.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Yeah, nice and clear.
Right on, baby.
Just one more time.
Testing. 1, 2, 1, 2. Nice and clear. Sorry about that, people out there, but like the man said, it's a live thing. So you're not saying no recording this. This is no. Live and direct. Yeah, and which is what you want.
And some people might think, say, it's just kind of like, in fact, yeah, some people must think, say, that whoever comes on this show knows exactly what we're going to drop, but I can assure you that is no, not far from the truth, you know. I just kind of set it out, set the program and that, and then, you know, we just chat about this and chat about that, you know?
That's true, that, because I don't even know what's on the show. I just have to try and come in on it, you know what I mean?
Well, you don't try, you come in on it, yeah. Rasta, big time.
No. You know,
you don't try, you know? So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening to this, but if you are, keep it quiet here, you know? And let's jump straight in. Well, I'm gonna start off with a little bit of cycling, actually. People might think, oh, yeah, it's all about the World Cup and all that. Listen, kind of stuff, but we never just dropped the football. That was talking balls back in the days, probably about 8 years ago. They just spoke about football and more football. But, you know, so we drop it different on Sweet Talking Sport. I'm going to talk about... actually got a 29-year-old female cyclist. You know, and she was racing in the final kilometre of stage two. So kilometre is, you know, 0.621 whatever part of a mile in a defence. That's what they call a female race. So I believe that they probably what? I think there's 9 stages in especially the femme cycling race. I'm not sure about the men's, but Zygaard lost control. She was riding at high speed and went over a bump and crashed hard, you know. So that's why it's important that, you know, whether you're big or small or you're in a park or on the road, that's why you must wear you know,
safety gear,
as CV says, you know. That's paramount, you know. But she actually broke a jaw.
There you go.
You know what I mean? And you know, people think, wow, you know, what kind of collision, what kind of like race
Was she in?
Yeah, exactly.
Because she must have been going something for to take a big heavy fall like that.
Mm. I mean, I've never, touched wood, I've never kind of like had a big crash on a bike like this, but I've had some near misses. I think one near miss was last year when I was going up Abigail Road and a motorist just kind of cut me up. I had a few words with him and I could feel the blood kind of like bubbling up. So yeah. I just had to just take a calm pill.
Yes.
You know what I mean? After I let off.
Try and be diplomatic, innit?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, I felt like, you know, putting his face in at the steering wheel. You know them gap in your wheel?
Yeah.
I felt like just squeezing his face in there.
Yeah,
you know?
But obviously you showed a lot more maturity. And you thought, right, okay, I've put it this way, I've said my piece, and now I'm going to travel on. Because I've been in that position many a times, as you know, massive rider, everywhere. And but true now that I've got little difficulties in the legs now, I don't ride as much. But you do come across some silly people, you know.
Yeah, it was a really sort of like bad kind of like experience what she had. I hope she's all right. Like I said, she suffered a fractured jaw following a crash in the final kilometre stage of 2 of the Tour de Suisse Femme race on Thursday. 29-year-old lost control. And then, you know, you think that, you know, they'd look out for them little bumps and all them kind of things. Obviously accidental. Underwent several medical assessments, diagnosed with a fractured jaw, like I said. Fortunately, no other injuries were detected during examination, you know. The team's medical staff evaluating the next steps required to ensure Erska receives the best possible treatment and recovers, you know, recovery process is underway. You know, people who kind of like have kind of come off their bike for whatever reason, they kind of like will know where we're going with this story.
Yeah,
you know?
I've been there before.
It can't be very nice.
And it's not very nice, especially when you're in the ambulance and being took to the hospital. Yeah, yeah.
Look, fire. You hear that? You know, so some serious things. And I know that you as a man, what wear safety gear tough.
All the time.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. People might... There's still people around who don't bother with it. They think them look silly. You know, the comb on them head and all that kind of something there. But if people want to joke, let them joke about it. But you know, you're looking after yourself, you know, which is kind of like very, very important, you know. So that's, you know, a little mention about the guards. Like I said, she kind of like had a heavy crash, you know, in the tour. The women's kind of like equivalent, you know, and that race happened in France. I'm not sure what kind of speeds them back them kind of cyclists go, you know, but
30, you know, that, can hit 30,
you know, 30, about 30s, you know. It's kind of a decent speed, that, you know. Yeah. So you listen to Sweet Talking Sport on a Friday the 19th. I'm here with CV, and we've just gone into the talking about the cyclists. Now going to flip it now and go into the Olympic medalist Simpson recovering after she collapsed. Now the Olympic medalist Jenny Simpson is making encouraging improvements in hospital after collapsing at an event in North Carolina. 39-year-old pace setter. I just want to just talk about the pace setter. These are the athletes what obviously are getting paid to do a job. They set the pace. They make sure, say, you know, people are on track. And that is like, you know, they have to be experienced runner, and they're hired to lead, to make sure the tempo is high octane, you know. And at 39, I'm going to question that. Should you have a pacer at 39 busting a gut to set the pace?
Depends,
you know what I mean?
It depends. I mean, if she's up to it, she's a top athlete. Yeah, I don't see no problem with that myself.
But then she's collapsed at the end.
That's what saying. I'm saying she's a top. You don't know. Maybe someone of 20, 22, they could set the pace, and that still could happen to them.
That's true. I mean, Jenny received immediate medical attention and was transported to the nearby hospital. The CEO,
and where
Joey
was this?
Pointer in
America,
in Carolina,
right? So yeah. North Carolina, right? Okay.
You know, and you know, a colleague stayed with her throughout the night as her family travelled to be with her early Wednesday morning. I mean, they administered CPR. Yeah. So it was a quite
serious
and serious kind of thing, you know. I just think that maybe sometimes, I mean, she is an Olympic athlete, and I hear what he's saying about, you know, if she thinks she's fit enough and stuff. Nobody would have predicted that, you know, unfortunately. Unfortunate circumstances, I should say. Simpson, who retired from competition running at the end of 2024, you know, so 2 years ago, retired from competition, but still did the pace setter. And I just think, to me, you know, on the course of caution, was that something that, you know, I mean, I don't know how much she got paid for it, but was the money, was it a too bigger reward to actually turn down, or was it her just keeping in with it? But you think, to retire from one thing, and to be a pace setter, I think setting the pace is probably more endurance than what her running was before. I mean, the pace setter, like I said, they just give all, don't they? They're running at a high speed,
yeah,
you know, to encourage
others to keep up with them.
Yeah, You know what I mean? So that's encouraging the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're looking for a world record. Maybe they're looking for a European record or, you know, some kind of record. Or just wanting to, you know, have their best time. But, yeah. Luckily, Lady Luck was on her side. Like I said, she received CPR after collapsing at the side. You know? So, you know, like I said, she retired in 2024. Won gold in the 1500 metres at the 2011 World Championships. And bronze medal in 2026.
She was pretty good then.
At long distance, innit? So she's obviously had to have a sprint finish or a little bit of a kick in her when she kind of like thought she'd make the switch from, you know, 1500 meters to the track, you know, to kind of like being the pace setter. Yeah, I just think that maybe they need to look at that because you're busting the gut at 40 on the track. You know, I think that's a pretty big ask. Listen to Sweet Talk Sport. It's 1816. We've got CV in the studio. G, if you're listening out there, so, yeah. What, you have a little juice at the side and you're keeping nice and chilled. You know? Out there, so. T20. Which is the Women's World Cup in this country. It's looking at the West Indies. They had a bit of a game against Scotland. Who would have thought would have been saying that West Indies won by 7 runs, not 7 wickets. They got it over the line and they had some big hitters. I kind of like saw some kind of like highlights of them batting. And they was dishing it out, just trying to get. Those of you who have got access to the internet at home, take a look on there, because, like I said, there was some big shots coming from the West Indies. But yeah, it's good to get that one over the line. I mean, the 2020 or the T20 is held every 2 years, and the defending champions, New Zealand, who won it two years ago. So, you know, the Windies and the USA, they held a joint one in 2024. I mean, in their league, you've got England, West Indies, Scotland, Sri Lanka, New Zealand, and also Ireland. And we just kind of like wish the Windies all the very, very best in that. Now, This next topic is kind of like a big one. I mean, off air we were talking about racism and stuff, and it's also kind of like reared its head also as well in the World Cup. But it was Raphael van der Vaart, ex Spurs midfielder, and he was doing some commentary in his native kind of homeland, the Netherlands, and he was referring to the Netherlands v Japan game. And what it was, he came out with a racial slur. Van der Vaart was kind of doing some kind of like some punditry work on it, and what he said is that all the players look the same. He was referring to the Japanese players, which was kind of like bang, bang ota arda, I mean, like I said, we was discussing some things before we came on air, and we'll revisit that as well, you know. I mean, why did he refer to? In fact, when we used to talk about Netherlands, people used to call them as you know, Holland, back in the days. But since that, it's really called the kind of Netherlands, and that's kind of like referred to because you know that in Holland you've only got, you know, it's like two Providence, which is the north and south, but Netherlands you've got the 12, and it was the government of Netherlands what dropped that. 2020, that was when we had COVID. So, you know, I mean, yeah, Van der Vaart is kind of like apologised in that, but is that acceptable? You know.
So this guy, you were telling me, was live punditry, was commentating, and he made a remark that, oh, they all look the same, live on air. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. My only comment would be, would he have said that about the American team or a team predominantly with white players in? Would he have said, oh, well, I can't really recognise them, really, because they all look the same?
Mm-hmm.
Would he have said that, do you think? I don't think so.
Obviously not.
I don't think so, but it's like I've said... I was saying this off air. When people don't see nothing. You know what I mean? They think, oh, it's quite easy for them to say it. Do you know what I mean? It's like the guy who was talking about off air, and he said, "Oh, he couldn't believe that." It was his friend what used the N word while watching England playing Croatia. It was him. And I said, well, he has to retract that and think to himself. He's got to think about the word when he said friend. That's what he has to think about, right? He's his friend. Well, a friend wouldn't come out with that.
See it there? Yeah, definitely.
He felt comfortable enough to shout that racist word and not think anything about you being there.
Comfortable, privileged.
Yeah.
You know.
So this commentator would be the same.
Yeah, and it's not the first time things have kind of slipped out. I mean, he was a decent player. Can you remember him, Van der Vaart, when he played for Spurs? Decent kind of midfield boy. But and also, like I said, capped 109 times for the Dutch.
Either one of us.
You know, 2020 World Cup final. Now, he said that, and I listened to his speech, what he's come up with. Like, call it an apology, but it's like a speech. You know that you can just bust it on AI, and AI would just splat out an apology for you. And this apology is just, for me, it's just kind of like scripted. He said this, yeah. It wasn't my intention to offend or to hurt or to discriminate against anybody. I oppose racism in all its form. How many times...
Did you hear that?
...have we heard that?
Many times.
And I have respect for people of every background, ethnicity and culture. Now, that, to me, doesn't sound like Van der Vaart. No, that's his agent. Or, like I said, somebody's kind of Google something and say, you need to put this out. No!
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He goes on to say, I understand that some people may have found my words offensive or hurtful. Some people. More like nations, Van der Vaart. More like nations. You know what I mean? And then he said, I understand that people may have found my words offensive and hurtful. I sincerely regret that. Some people, he refers to as some people. My comment has caused pain and upset. Gone for the juggler now. Pain and upset. They're deep words, then.
Yeah.
I would like to offer my heartfelt apologies. That was never my intention. You know? I'm just going to repeat that last piece. You know? I understand that some people may have found my words offensive or hurtful, and I sincerely regret. My comments have caused pain or upset. I would like to offer my heartfelt apologies. Anti-discrimination charity Kick It Out criticize. Now this is Kick It Out. Now they criticize Van der Vaart and they call for broadcasters to be more careful.
Okay,
that's what them said. Now, I mean, for me, I'd be looking at some kind of form of punishment. Just because he's kind of apologised, it don't make it right. And, I mean, the punishment, what I would recommend, maybe a lethal injection. Yeah, I joke with that. Lethal injection, put him to sleep.
Oh, dear. That's...
put him to sleep.
Oh, dear, that's a bit...
you know? Not for the night, but Matthew said good night.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh, dear.
Or resign from the course.
Okay.
Or a fine. I'll get along. Or is it just an apology? Is that accepted? I'm sure. You know? Or, you know, like Kick It Out said, he has to be more, the broadcasters have to be more mindful. You know what I mean? What about a prison sentence? You know? An apology to the nation. Well, people will say, yeah, well, you know, you've had an apology. You know what I mean? What else do you want? But using a racial slur in public, expressing discriminatory statements can carry a prison sentence in Netherlands under Article 137C or 137D, you know? Of the Dutch Criminal Code.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, people would have said, oh, yeah, but it's in Netherlands. You know, how do you know that, you know, that's in imprisonment or something? But I just think that, on, you know, broadcasting, going out to millions across the world, and then you're just so brushed to just come up with a statement like that, like they all look the same. And what punishment? I'm going to use that word punishment because I believe he needs to be punished.
Okay.
Not just lose his job or something like that, but has to be lit with some heavy manners.
Okay, some literally,
yeah,
proper punishment.
I want some heavy manners.
Okay,
you know what I mean.
Okay.
Because we was chatting along these lines just before we come on air about what people say and what people do have a massive effect. You know what I mean. So, you know, like if you look at the color of somebody's skin, you know, you have a black man who's 100% black. Yeah. Almost sapphire. The only true human is Fiwi.
Yeah.
And I'm not being, you know, racist or anything. Don't stand for that. That is fact. That is the truth. Since human stepped on this planet, you know what I mean. So, you know, you never get a white person 100%. You know, because them mix up with it, you know. They mix up with the Homo sapien them, you know, and interacted with the Herandertons, you know. But it's like, say, when he was chatting about the Asian man them, you know, you'll get 100% Asian, you know. So you'll get them. But I'm gonna say, like over what? Over 2,000 years ago, yeah, the white man was a black man.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Please educate us.
Well, it's not an educating thing, but it's just on the racism thing, because people need to look at their history.
Right.
Before them start coming out with things.
Yeah, I
because
I,
how many times we have to pull them up? I mean, we even pull up Kiki Talk because they're just saying, well, you know, the broadcasters, yeah, we'll have a little saying. The broadcasters just need to be a little bit mindful of what they're saying. But we've got the stick out and we're doing the beating. You know what I mean? It's like, so we're doing the beating on here to say, the mafia, be careful. The mafia, be careful, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of heavy. In fact, do you want to play a piece of that something there? What you played just before we come on air with Brian from a little few minutes, just seeing my siesta, of how big this topic is.
That was on, something,
you know? But you know, in the white people, they will carry, minimum of 1% DNA from others, yeah. And genetic mix up, you're talking 50,000-60,000 years ago. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, it's a deep subject, but we're not going to go that deep in it. But how many times we're going to hear this thing about, you know, the racism and stuff. And it should be like a cord. Once somebody drops something like that, you know, and you've got a big audience, it's got to be the ultimate. It's got to be the ultimate sanction. You know what I mean? Until we get there. And also the sanction, what fits the crime. We've got, you know, once we get there, that's when more change will happen.
Here goes.
Listen to this.
White people in Feltham and Witten, and I never understood it, how he's a good one. He could play with us, but they can't. And then going from
I don't know if I need to say this, but there'll be loads of people from Felton and Witten who are white, who are utterly I've got family from Witten as it goes,
yeah.
Who are utterly repelled by what you're describing, but you're describing what you experienced.
What I experienced, this is purely my experience playing football, and then moving from Hounslow to Wokingham, which is predominantly white, I then experienced playing football, being told to go back to Marwell Zoo. Whilst playing a game, a fan on the sidelines, I scored a goal, celebrated, and he told me to go back to Marwell Zoo. So that was one of the a team full of white players, didn't know what to do, didn't know how to react.
How old were you?
I reckon I was 15, 16 at that point. And I just like, what can you do? There was nothing I could do, so apart from continue playing, put my head down, and I scored a goal. So to me, that was all I cared about. And then from growing up watching England play in pubs, when a black player would miss a penalty, to hearing the N-word the moment they missed a penalty, but it was fine for a white player to miss a penalty. And even the last World Cup in the final, obviously, when we lost in penalties, that feeling and anxiousness of knowing what racism is going to be online, what you're going to experience being a mixed race person in a very white area, which has changed dramatically, Wokingham, it has, but it's just horrible. It's horrible.
I don't know, so I'll just ask you, but I would have thought that it was worse today than it was when you were 15.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I mean, obviously, I remember what happened to people like Cyril Regis. You're probably too young, and latterly to John Barnes and the bananas being thrown onto the pitch. Yeah. But the anti-racism initiatives in football were largely successful. And then something blew the lid off, didn't it? A few years ago.
Social media just allowed the people who were sort of saying it in their living room to now saying it online, seeing it online. I don't even watch football down the pub because
we obviously have different ethnicities, but yeah. I can't imagine. I genuinely can't imagine, and sometimes I try, Kylo. I hope that doesn't make me sound weird, but you know what I do for a living, and some of the subjects that come around again and again. So Harry Kane misses a penalty last night.
Yeah. Man.
The fact that he's white would never feature in my response to that moment. I don't think in a million years. I'm trying to think like a computer just with an endless screed of text rolling down a screen, you know, and what's going on in my brain, whether it's like yours with a bit of ADHD or not, and it's going off at tangents and you can't fully control it. I mean, unless you've got Tourette's and you genuinely don't know what is going to come out of your mouth and you will say things that you are utterly and immediately embarrassed and ashamed by, as we saw at the BAFTAs, the fact that a white bloke missed the penalty, the whiteness of the bloke that missed the penalty is never going to appear on that screen, even if it spools and scrolls for 100 years. The fact that he's white is never going to appear.
Never. And that's the mind-blowing thing that comes to me. Like,
it is mind-blowing.
Some kind of deep conversation.
Deep conversation there.
And it's good to get different people talking about it. I mean, there's people that feel uncomfortable, but sometimes you have to get uncomfortable to kind of get in at it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that works on both sides.
It is, and that's the reason when I was asked back in the day, how come you don't really follow England that much?
Mm.
And the reasons for that is exactly what you hear. Because, I'm a football fan. You're a football fan, right? We love our football. Mm-hmm. We go home and away. But I wouldn't go and say go to watch England.
No.
Because for the simple reason of the same situation here, right? You, the first thing is they turn on you. And you're going to get that whatever, right? So, nah. That's the reason why I don't really. I'm not a big England fan. No, I'm not saying that. I want them to lose or anything like that. All I'm saying is that I'm not that passionate to say I'm going to give up my time to go and sit down and watch England, because you don't know what you're facing. Some people might say, "Oh no, it's nothing like that now. It's a mixture." Yeah, it is. But if we're looking at the climate right now. And if we're looking at the political climate as well, things are a lot different now. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I mean, when England played Croatia the other night, I think that's the first time in years I'm actually watching a full game what England have played. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to the Ghana game, to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to that, you know.
Well, you'll obviously have your racist element there. And if
there'll be any game England play because of the representation they've got in the colours, you know what I mean? So, you know, but it's kind of like, I mean, that O'Brien said, sadly, at some point he said, it's sadly sad that we have to talk about it. I don't think it is sad, you know what I mean? Because, like, you can educate a person, you have to also stick up for yourself,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if you was kind of like a little Lily or something like, and then you kind of shied away from something, a situation, a scenario. I feel like you're not defending. You're not defending. You know what I mean? And sometimes have to defend on bigger occasions.
The thing is,
you know?
Yeah, the thing is, what I'm saying is that you have to stand up for yourself. And there are times when you have to, I would say no to this. You're not putting up with it. Because if you don't, and I've seen it before, if you don't, people then think it's okay for them to say it, and then say even more.
Yeah.
They don't think what they're saying is hurtful.
Yeah.
Because they'll say, oh, it's all right, he's all right with that. He laughs and jokes with us.
Mm-hmm.
He has no other choice. Or she has no other choice. Because if you're the only one person of colour in that group, they have no other choice. They either laugh with it, or they either sulk or they leave.
Mm.
So, for me, sometimes you've got to speak out.
Yeah, you have to speak out, yes. And that's why I think, you know, there's people looking at organisations like Kick It Out, because them have to stick the boot in. You know what I mean? When things happen like that, they need to be jumping on it. They need to be all over it like a rush. You know what I mean? And, you know, say what we're saying about them punishment this and punishment that. You know? It's kind of really, really sad.
Just on the last bit on this, what you've got to understand it as well. These people, these stars, these professional footballers, they are playing for England. So they are representing England. They are representing you as a nation. But yeah, you've got some, not all, are calling them. That's what I'm talking about. They are calling them, right? I wonder how many people, even how many black people, would have jumped on the bandwagon when Harry Kane Mr. penalty. But lucky for him, he had to retake it again.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what would have been said.
Mm-hmm.
No, to be honest, you know, nothing would have been said.
See, yeah, you know?
But, you know, there you go.
You know, I mean, yeah, Van der Vaart, you know? You know, even if he claimed that there was no racial intent, which is something that they always come out with. You know, I suppose it's like somebody making a salad sandwich without no lettuce and tomato and cucumber and all them something in it, and just have the sauce of bread and say it's a salad sandwich. You know what I mean? You know? You know, his comments have a massive impact on everybody. You know what I mean? You know? From East and South, you know, Asian community, you know, directed at the plays, the crowd, you know, that nation, you know, I mean, like I said, the audience, what he was chatting to, you know, World Cup attracts global, it's absolutely massive, you know. And he has a big responsibility as a broadcaster, you know, to come correct. You know, it's just like when we're chatting on here, you know what I mean? I don't know how many people them are tuning, them are locking, yeah? Yeah, but we carry a little responsibility too.
That's right, because you've got to know that you're talking on the air. You may be talking to millions of people out there.
So if we can do it, you know what I mean? Why can't Van der Vaart do it?
Mm.
You know?
Point. Good point.
You know? So, and we don't have to be reminded. You know what I mean? You know, we ain't going to be hearing from any organisation to say, why them, why they? You know, the language, what them have come out with, fallouts and all them Sunday. You know what I mean? You know? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know? We come correct. Yeah? I mean, sticking kind of like with the World Cup, and sticking with different people from different kind of like ethnicities and, you know, cultural kind of backgrounds and stuff. Here's some place that I've switched.
So much that players sometimes pledge allegiance to a different country just to be at this competition. This year, and ahead of previous editions, we have seen different players do this exact thing, and we want to talk about a few of them today. These are 10 players who switched nationalities right before the World Cup. This video is sponsored by Supply Handlers. We'll start with Kani Chukwuemeka. After having represented England at youth levels, the former Chelsea man was hoping to one day play for the Three Lions. But after waiting for years with no hope of a call-up, he decided to switch to his country of birth in order to play at this World Cup. Chukwuemeka was born in Austria to Nigerian parents before moving to England as a kid, and as such, could have played for any of those three nations. Seeing as England refused to call him and Nigeria didn't qualify for this year's World Cup, his only hope of making it to the big showdown this summer was by switching to Austria, and that was exactly what he did. His request to switch was only approved by FIFA in March, allowing him to make his debut that same month. 2 months later, he was included in Austria's World Cup squad. Worked perfectly for him, it appears. Meanwhile, 4 years ago, it was Brian Mbeumo who was doing the same thing.
Just before we get on to Mbeumo, can you blame them boy for switching? You know?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you're England, for England, I would say switch. Because they're not all going to get in the England side. They're not going to get in the England side. So why hold out? You might as well go and play for your parents' country. That's how I see it.
I mean, like, Mbeumo now.
Years ago, it was Brian Mbeumo who was doing the same thing.
Mbeumo's a big player, isn't
he? At youth levels, Man United,
but he had still not earned a call-up to the first team, not even for friendlies. So, ahead of the 2022 World Cup, he met with Cameroon legend Samuel Eto'o, who managed to convince him to switch allegiances to his parents' country, Cameroon. Mbeumo saw that was his only chance to play at the World Cup, so he took it. He declared his allegiance for Cameroon in August, and 3 months later, he was off to the World Cup. He would go on to feature in every one of Cameroon's games at that tournament in Qatar. And ahead of that same tournament, Matty Cash also made a big switch.
With Mbeumo, I mean, you know, if Cameroon kind of like was playing France, he must get a bit digi, innit? Because, like, that's who he wanted to play for. He wanted to play for France. But like I said, France wasn't picking the phone up for dialing.
Exactly, exactly, and that's what I'm saying. You're sitting there hoping that you're going to get a call up off what you would consider your own country, right? And you're not going to get one, right? So for me, you might as well play for your parents.
I mean, even though it's kind of like you consider. You know, I will say a little bit of stubbornness before the switch because they've represented the country that they want to play for at a younger age group, you know, whether it's under 18s, you know, under 17s, under 18s or whatever. And then when they become a certain age, then they've got to make a conscious decision. So they'll obviously assess, thinking, do you know what? I'm not going to get called up. It's not going to happen. Or maybe they get some inside information to say, well, you better switch right now because time's running out. You know what I mean? I mean, I wasn't really aware of Matty Cash when he switched.
Tournament in Qatar. And ahead of that same tournament, Matty Cash also made a big switch. He was born in England, and so, naturally, he was waiting and hoping for an England call-up one day. Seeing as it wasn't going to come, especially with Kyle Walker, Reece James, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Kieran Trippier all ahead of him on the right-back pecking order back then, he decided to find another way to go to the World Cup. Apparently, he's of Polish descent through his mother and, as such, could represent them at international level. So he decided that was his best route to the World Cup. He applied for Polish citizenship in late 2021, which then allowed him to be called up to the national team for the first time. A year later, he was on the plane to Qatar with the Poland national team, and he went on to play the full 90 minutes in all the four games they played at that World Cup. It seems like he made the right decision there. Anyway, let's come back to the present. Johan Angeboni just did this in the craziest fashion this year. The Inter Milan man was born in France and has represented the European country at youth levels. He waited for a senior call-up for some years, but it never came. Even his move to Inter Milan last year didn't do much to help his chances. Seeing as the World Cup was about to pass him by, he decided to make a last-minute switch. The striker only just switched allegiances in May, and just 1 week later, he was included in Cote d'Ivoire's squad for the World Cup. This decision received a lot of pushback as Boni had not played a single game for Cote d'Ivoire before getting included in the World Cup squad. But well, it seems the coach saw the value he could bring to the team and chose to call him up. Rani Kadira is another player who switched this year. He was born in Germany and represented the country at different youth levels years ago. He waited for 10 years to be called up to the first team, but it never came. But he wanted to play at the World Cup before retirement, so he decided to do something about it.
You know?
Yeah. So quite, you know, some heavyweights along there. Boomer. Him switch, him send me gone. You know? Chip to the Cameroons. I mean, obviously, he's French. France. You know, powerful, one of the powerhouses. Cameroon's was, I can remember one World Cup when they played England, isn't it? And the
Miller.
Yeah, they dance him up.
Yeah, Mr. Miller.
Dance him up at the corner flag. And a rubbing belly. You know, like a hot jelly.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, until in Yamakwava jelly.
That's right.
That's Roger Miller.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And everybody did a talk about him and the telly.
Hey.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, has there been any kind of games that have caught your eye or any kind of performances in the World Cup?
Yeah, there was the one with... with the goalkeepers in his 40s, and he pulled
in his 40s?
Yeah, and he pulled off some good saves. Is it Carrick? The smallest country in it, wasn't it? And they drew, didn't they? One. Yeah.
Is it Curacao?
Yeah.
They took J.A.'s place, didn't it? So they're playing. Yeah. Germany and
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good. That was good. That was good to say. They came back and that.
Yeah.
And then another one. I liked it because I thought he put the ball away when he had to put the ball away, which was the Norway game. I like that game with Haaland. So there's been a couple of games.
Yeah.
Right. Well, being okay.
I watched the Dutch game the other night.
That was against. Who was that against now? They were against who?
It was a wicked game, that actually.
Was it 2-2 that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And there was.
Might have been 2-2.
Just a few kind of like plays. What was playing in the Premiership also as well, you know, what kind of like catch your eye, you know. But I also kind of like watching my team, Switzerland. It's just a little bit of fun for an outside bet. I don't mind having a bet when it's World Cup, every 4 years it comes around. Do you know what I mean? And I just look at the dark horses. I don't bother look at the big boys like France and Spain. I just think, you know, and I'm thinking that, you know, with the Switzerland and Xhaka, you know, they played well against Bosnia, but took him 70 odd minutes, so I wasn't really convinced. But them and Canada should be on the jollies to the next
next round.
Should be.
You know what I mean?
Should be.
And Switzerland, I got them when they were 20-1. That was just to make the final. And like I said, Dark Horse Outsiders, 50-1 to kind of like win it. But there's some kind of interesting games on this evening. We've got the United States, managed by Pochettino, and they played really well. I was really pleased how they played, so I'll be watching that against Australia, and just see how Ari Suter plays as well, because I know he's on Sheffield United's radar, so they're looking whether he's overcome his injury. Well, obviously he's in the Australian squad and he's at the heart of it. I heard that he had a very good game, but I think this could be a kind of open game. United States against Aussies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are now taking US a bit serious now, because they can actually play some kind of football, you know?
We've got some talented players.
Pulisic.
You've got to remember now, the American players now are not just staying in America, in the US. They play all over the world now. Because they're good enough to do that. Right, which is similar to the team that I've drawn
in your suite,
right, which is Japan.
You got Japan,
and they're a decent side. They've got a lot of their players play in high standard leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't see really any real countries that you could say they're going to get bust up, other than the one what I mentioned before when they drew, right? With 1-1. You know, I think all the teams have got pretty decent standards. I mean, tonight we've got Scotland, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Scotland and is it Morocco?
Yeah, Morocco. And they played some football here.
Morocco,
you know,
played. They played Brazil, and they drew with Brazil.
There was fast 1-1. I think it was 1-1. And I think it's like we were saying the other day about how Brazil, that whenever it's kind of World Cup and Brazil are playing, you just want them to win it because it's the way how they treated the game. But I think in recent years now, some of that flamboyant, expansive football have been quartered. And that's just my opinion. You know what I mean?
And you're right, because a lot of the Brazilians now play in Europe. So, and European football is different to South American football.
Yeah, but the point I'm saying is that, you know, yeah, we know that they can do the flicks and all them kind of something there. And you know, bend the bar around and all that stuff. And some of them kind of shooting range when them line up, it's more like, you know, get further to the goal. The closer you get to the goal, it's like little interchange, tappy tappy football business. You know what I mean? And you know, can we kind of like get the defense out of position and draw them this way, draw them that way? You know what I mean? And you know, break the lines and stuff. But yeah, I mean, talking about Brazil, they're in action tomorrow evening. It's an early start though, for some or late depending, you know what I mean, but that's at 1:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Wow. You know what I mean, if I'm up, I'll take in that game.
I can't see me being up at that time, but there you go.
You never know, you know what I mean. I do like to watch Brazil, though. You know what I mean? I do like to watch Brazil. 1858, you know? Hope you've enjoyed what you've heard and got into some interesting debates.
Yes, some heavy.
You know?
It's been very good today.
You know? And we're leading the line. Never mind kick it out, you know? You want to listen to we, you know?
Right then, people. That's another show gone.
Yes, I am.
Till next week.
You know? Yeah. Enjoy. And we'll play out with this tune. You know?
Be up a nice all this. Yeah. It gets better with time. He's in the key to know yourself.
Yeah, he's in the key to. You know what the man say? Oh, girl, I like what you like. You know, like this tune, like. Tune nice. Yeah. Like on a hot day when it's up in our eyes. And you say, Jesus Christ. For yeah. Each other. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're just gonna pull it up right now, selector. In a bit.